Hello, everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with the crew coach, Corinne Rayson, on the Wellbeing Project. Today, I have one of our token guests, and I'll say token because we don't have many males doing this course, but it's definitely on the rise, that's for sure. So, yeah, with us today, I have Emil, who is a chief officer. And welcome, Emil. I would love for you to introduce yourself, maybe a bit of background of who you are and what you do and how long you've been working in the industry for.
Well, good morning, Corinne, and everyone else. Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, I'm quite proud and excited to be your token male. A little bit of background for me. I've been in the industry for about 15 years, I think. Yeah. I'm currently chief officer. I've got my master's ticket. I'm trying to step up to be a captain, you know, take on my first captain's role. So at the moment, yeah, I'm chief officer on a 55 meter, and I'm just looking forward to trying, you know, to take the step up and, you know, become a good captain and a good leader for the crew following behind me, you know. And I think that's part of the reason for doing this course is just, you know, gaining the confidence and the, you know, the surety that I can be a good leader, and that I am a good leader, and be someone that people want to work with and look up to.
Fantastic. Now I'm going to go straight into the kill. I would love to know, what does it take to be a good leader? If that's your focus and that's who you want to be, what do you think are the characteristics or elements required to be a good leader?
I think it's someone that's open for, you know, for suggestions, someone that takes the whole crew as a package into account, that considers everyone else's opinions, that doesn't just rule with, you know, a dictatorship, believing that, oh, I'm in charge, you know, it's my way or the highway. You know, even in my position now, I see myself as quite a democratic leader. You know, I've made mistakes in the past, obviously, but I feel like I'm mature enough to admit it and learn and that I've learned from it. So, yeah, I just think it's someone that, you know, can, yeah, have his own opinion, have his own way of doing things, but be open to suggestions and, you know, not be scared to admit when they're making mistakes, or scared to admit that they've done something wrong, or, you know, scared to try a different way of doing things, and just be, you know, a democratic leader for everybody underneath him.
Yeah, beautiful. So what leadership mistakes have you observed within the industry?
I think there's a lot of, I'd almost say a God complex. You know, I think a lot of people feel as soon as they've reached the top, then, you know, they don't really need to take advice or suggestions anymore. They think anybody that questions anything that they do, they see them as argumentative or troublemakers, and it's easier to push someone like that out the door, to just keep their own peace and keep their own position at ease, rather than have someone that questioned them, not for the sake of making an argument or having an argument, but for the sake of, you know, trying to understand better. But I think a lot of people see that as a threat. A lot of people see it as, you know, like I said, someone just being a troublemaker. And I mean, I'm not scared to speak my mind and ask questions and query. And I think in the past, it's counted against me quite a bit. But it was never from an argumentative point. It was purely from an inquisitive point, to try and see the reasoning for doing things, and purely for better understanding for me. But yeah, I think a lot of people might see that as a threat. And once they're at the top, it's like, oh, I don't need to deal with this. So it's a lot easier to, you know, push someone out the door.
So if you lead from a point of entitlement and rank and tend to abuse your power, what do you think the detrimental effects or impact that can have on the team?
I see it as negative. I think you'll just be seen as someone that's really unapproachable. You know, you'll have crew that don't want to spend time with you at all. You know, when you enter the room, crew will just leave. And I think a lot of crew will also just behind your back start muttering amongst themselves. You know, say, oh, I can't believe the captain's doing this again, or I can't believe he or she's doing that again. So I just think it creates a negative vibe where people start ganging up and make little cliques where they, you know, where it's a bad habit and a routine to get into of actually just starting to badmouth someone maybe behind their back and gossiping a little bit, you know, and then it creates a little bit of animosity, and it just breaks the whole crew morale and the crew bond, I think, if it trickles down from the top.
Mm. So what would your advice be to someone who's resistant to working on themselves? Oh, I've done the helm course, I've done my tickets, I'm a captain now, I don't need to learn anything else. What would your advice be to that?
Well, I think advice would be that everyone can always continue to learn. I think anyone that thinks that they don't have anything else to learn, you know, but, I mean, for me doing this course now, I've also got my captain's ticket, and, you know, I've been in the industry long enough to think, oh, I know how it works, but, you know, people can always learn and always improve themselves. So my advice would just be for someone to be open to suggestions and open to the possibility that they can be a way to do things differently, or that there are different ways of doing things, and there are still things that people can improve on themselves, whether it is, I don't know, taking, you know, courses like this, or just allowing people the opportunity to have open conversation with them. You know, it's not to say that now that I've got an opinion, we have to now all of a sudden we have to change your opinion, but the fact that you're open to listening to the fact that someone might have a different opinion and voice their opinion, I think is valuable.
Absolutely. So what is your biggest takeaway from the course so far? What have you enjoyed the most?
I think it's interesting to see how, you know, I mean, yeah, I am pretty much one of the only guys on the course in the group that I am with, you know, obviously, you know, more females than me, but I think we all sit with the same insecurities, I guess, you know, with and the fear of believing that, or not believing that be good enough to take the next step up, or, you know, that we sort of reluctant and hesitant to take the next step up. So I think it was quite good to delve a little bit deeper into why we think, you know, we shouldn't move up, or we couldn't move up, or take on the next role, or that maybe we're not good enough in the position we're in. So I think it's, for me, it was quite valuable to get feedback from people that I have worked with, and, you know, see that there's a lot of positives and there's a lot of good things, you know, even though I have my faults and, you know, that I am working on them and I have sort of ironed out quite a few of them. I think it's the course helped a lot with delving a little bit deeper into the psychology behind it. It's not just a book-based course where you read something out of a textbook and you go write the exam on it. I think it's a lot of self-reflecting, a lot of personal opinions and personal feelings and values that you have to sort of dig deep to try and evaluate and determine and pin down, you know. So I think just in general, the whole course of trying to discover things for yourself, I think, was quite valuable.
Amazing. So you heard about this course through a colleague of yours. Why did you decide to do this course over another course?
Well, I actually never knew that there were any of these courses available. And then, yeah, my colleague, she said that she did the one with you and she spoke very highly of you and the way you run it and the course and the content and all that. And it was just a last minute decision, you know, without having to look into other courses of the same type, you know, or something similar. It was easy for me to just carry on. And, you know, with her, because it was quite helpful for me, obviously, to have my colleague on the course as well, and which made it a bit easier. And, yeah, she just spoke very highly of you and the course and the way you run it. So it was easy. It was an easy decision for me.
I'm pleased to hear that. So just going on to, because it's very rare, we've got a captain and a purser that are doing the course as well, and they're a couple. Now, for yourself and your colleague during the course together, what are the advantages of that? I know that we've discussed on how you can run particular workshops with your team, but having a leader of the exterior department and then a leader of the interior department, what could be the potential synergy benefits of you both doing the course together?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately for all of us working in yachting, we hopefully we all are working towards the same goal. I think for me, obviously with my colleague, we both have the same ideas and the values of how we want to try and run the team and how we would like to see the boat run and manage and all that. So for us it was logical to to do it together or beneficial, because we're trying to streamline everything on the boat, and we're trying to, within our departments, have, you know, unity within our department, but also on the whole boat. And I think doing it together with someone on the boat, you know, that clearly has the same ideas and values and sort of end project in mind or end goal in mind, was very easy and very helpful, because, you know, like I said, we're all at the end of the day just trying to create an environment where everyone enjoys working in and everybody wants to be in, and at least we're working and striving for the same thing. So I think if you have someone that's got complete polar opposite ideas of how things should be done, you know, obviously it can detract from the end goal and from the whole crew environment and the feeling that you want to try and create on board. And I think it's probably one of the big reasons why we've got a real tight group of crew on board. You know, we've got a real family feel, and I think it's partly due to the fact that we obviously are striving towards the same goal. So yeah, I think for departments on board, I think it's useful for, you know, from everybody from a department to do it in order to basically just work towards the same goal, you know, and streamline the whole process in creating a good team atmosphere on board.
Yeah, consistency.
Yeah.
Okay, last question for you. If this is a 3-month course, it is not an easy course. As you said, it requires a lot of deep reflections and time management. Certainly, you are a very busy man with not only your responsibilities, but leading a team. How do you make time to do this course is the first question. And for someone who may be thinking about doing a leadership course, and there's an option of doing, say, a 5-day course or a 2-day course and getting the same qualification at the end versus doing a 3-month course, what are your thoughts around that? Because it's far easier just to do the short course, a tick and flick, and get the certificate than, you know, going the long yards like you're doing and putting all your blood, sweat, and potentially tears into it and getting the results that you're getting at the moment.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say there hasn't been any tears yet, so that's good. No, I think, look, anyone can do a 2-day or 5-day course and get a certificate at the end of it. I mean, it's, you know, all our courses in yachting pretty much is a week here, 5 days there. But I don't believe you get the same value out of it as what you're getting over this extended period. Yeah, 3 months might sound long, but it's not like I'm sitting hours every day, you know, doing content or answering the questions or doing the coursework. I think, you know, if you made the commitment to start the course, there's no need not to finish it or put the time in for it, because it's not that much that you'll think, oh well, it's going to take so much time out of my day. Yeah, it takes a little bit to sit and think and answer the questions and do some workshops and all that, but it's not excessive. But I think the value that you get out of it compared to a 2 or 5 day course, I think is unmeasurable, because like I said, it's not something that anyone can go read out of a textbook and 4 days later go pass an exam. I mean, I'm not good with maths at all, and I passed my stability out of a textbook because I remembered formulas. But that's not the point of really doing this course. This course is, you know, something that, you know, yeah, you'll implement, it's stuff that you'll implement in your daily life. You know, it's something that you'll implement not just as a captain or as a chief steward or chief engineer or whatever it may be, but it's stuff that you can implement in your daily life and just your general interactions with people. So I think the value in the 3-month course is just the amount of work that you'll get out of it and the amount of value that you'll get out of it in the long run, other than just being a 5-day course. You know, it's more than just, like I said, textbook stuff. It's personal stuff, and it's stuff that you can work on yourself as a human being instead of just a captain or a of a house or, you know, someone in a senior role.
It's so true. Just listening to your peers in this course share their thoughts and feelings and the personal transformation that they've had in their even personal intimate relationships with their partners, how they deal with conflict, how they understand conflict. And I know that you shared in our last session about your takeaway not to make assumptions. And I think that we don't have the time to pause and reflect on some of our behaviors and the impact that it can have, but you are certainly increasing your self-awareness by tenfold. And it's a very unique skill to be able to really harness your emotional intelligence. I think it's very, very powerful and impactful when you can do that. It takes more than just hard skills.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, there's so much to it, you know, and I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more that you can even add on to it, but I think this is a really good foundation and a really good start off point for people to actually sit back and think, oh, hang on, I actually enjoyed this bit of it, and actually then carry on and do further work themselves, you know, even after the course, and then look and try and do the same with, you know, the crew that they work with, and even like you say, with their partners and all that. So it's not just something that I think stops after 3 months. You know, it's something that I think, well, if you want to, obviously, if it's your own, if that's where you are, you know, it's something that you can continue for extensively, you know, until the end of time, just by continuing to develop yourself.
Totally. And I think the beauty of this course, yes, it's an advanced leadership course, so not everyone can go on it, but you also have to be screened. And as we discussed in the course, if you don't have the emotional maturity to deal with going through a research inquiry and getting feedback, you are very unlikely to be able to get through the course. So yeah, you do have to have a particular skill set in order to get in.
Yeah, no, I agree, because I think, you know, just touching on the research inquiry that you just mentioned as well, I think a lot of people were hesitant, including myself, and thinking, well, you know, I'm worried what the feedback's going to be. And, you know, I know a lot of my strengths and weaknesses, and it was nice to see both sides actually being written down by people that I've worked with and are working with currently. You know, but I do agree that there needs to be a bit of maturity there to be able to take the weaknesses as positive criticism and see it as, oh, okay, hang on, it's something I can work on, instead of being, well, hang on, that's not me, I don't agree with that, and that's all rubbish, I'm not going to deal with it, you know, and just try and brush it under the carpet. I mean, that way I don't think you ever allow yourself to actually grow and develop if you're not willing or mature enough to take any criticism.
No, and it's actually quite cowardly. Yeah, to be able to be vulnerable takes courage, and that's what all of you have done, which is absolutely phenomenal. So kudos to you. Thank you for leading the way and paving the way for especially men who are considering just upskilling in the area of leadership and leaving their legacy within our industry and making it a better place for all. So thank you so much, Emil, and I wish you all the very best of luck. I've actually got goosebumps just thinking about your progression and being a captain. I am so excited, and I can't wait to see you fulfill that position and your dream.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for all your hard work, and thanks for the course and the content and all that. It's definitely been valuable and definitely been worth it.
My absolute pleasure. Hello, everyone. Corinne here. Just wanted to quickly say, if you found this interview interesting, or if there was something that resonated with you, or perhaps you want to learn more about the Advanced Leadership course, then please do get in touch. You can email me at Karine, K-A-R-I-N-E, at thecrewcoach.com, or you can send me a direct message on Facebook or Instagram. Okay, everyone, take care and see you next week.